We had a good service this morning. If you would stand with me, we're going to look in the book of St. John, chapter number 3. She sang that song about home, and I'm looking forward to the day when I get to go home. Looking forward to the day whenever I can sing, I'm home. Y'all bear with me tonight while I preach. I'm going to be reading from St. John, chapter number 3, looking at verses 25 through 27. The Bible says, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized, and all men come to him." And this is a verse I want you to pay attention to. Verse number 27 says, "And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Verse number 27 again, "And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Thank you. You can be seated. And as the Lord laid this scripture on my heart, and He started giving me different ideas on this scripture, and He started pointing out different things to me. It doesn't matter whether it's physical. It doesn't matter if it's material. It doesn't matter if it is spiritual. God give it to you. It doesn't matter what it is. You didn't get it on your own. And that's what I want us to look at tonight, is you didn't get it on your own. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. You didn't get it on your own. You don't have the ability. It's nothing but God's love and His grace and His mercy that has given you what you've got today, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual. And if we look over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1, the Bible says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit hath a man all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Now, these things that God's given you, what I want you to think about tonight, and I want you to sit here and think about it, is what I've got just temporal. Is what I've got only going to last me while I'm here on this earth? Whenever we've got that, one generation passeth away, and then another one comes up, and then that generation passeth away, and it's not going to do you a bit of good. Naked came I into the world, naked will I leave. What I'm doing for down here on this earth, I'm not supposed to be laying up treasures down here, but I'm supposed to be laying up treasures up in heaven. And that's what we need to be working for. That's what we need to be gaining, is the treasures up in heaven. Whenever we look at what we've got down here on this earth, it's just going to pass away. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, verse number 24, the Bible says, "There is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor." Now, as I look at that, it's great sometimes whenever I like working with my hands. I like building different things. I like tinkering around. And whenever I get done with something, I like to look back and say, "I made that. My hands put that together." It's not always right. It's not always perfect. But I like making something with my hands. I like to see that end product. And right here it says, "Nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor." We ought to take pride in that which we do. We ought to be happy with that which we do. But one thing that we need to take a look at is that we're not able to do that unless it comes from God. Unless God give you the ability, you cannot do it on your own. You can look at doctors, you can look at lawyers, psychiatrists, all these other people, engineers, all these other people that's got great education and high level of education. They cannot do their job had it not been for God giving them the mental capacity and the ability to attain that knowledge. Amen. They cannot do it on their own. Sure. If God had not given that to them, then they wouldn't be able to do it. Right. If you read on, it says, "This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God." So it's the hand of God reaching down and touching our minds and giving us the ability to learn. It's by Him reaching down and touching our hands and giving us the physical ability to do different things down here on this earth. You cannot do it unless God gives it to you. Amen. No man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. "This also I saw, that was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God give it to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy." I'm thankful that as on my journey through this life, God can give me a little bit of wisdom. He can lead me a little bit of knowledge, and He can give me a little bit of joy. And I'm glad that He does it again and again and again. It don't matter what I learn. It doesn't matter what He gives me. It seems like I turn around and He just gives it to me again and again and again. It's never ending with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to read on. It says, "But to the sinner He giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that He may give to him that is good. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. You bear with me here for just a little while. We're going to talk about a little bit of temporal things down here on this earth. Then we're going to talk about a little bit on the spiritual side, that which God gives and that which God blesses us. But as we look at it, the gifts of God and the things that He gives us and the abilities and the mental capacity down here on this earth, we can't have it if it had not been from the hand of God. And whenever the Lord was laying this on my heart, I got to thinking about Papa, Brother C.L., got a sixth grade education. That's all he got, a sixth grade education. I'm not saying anything to tear him down. I love him with all my heart. I'm going to use him as an example tonight. He's got a sixth grade education, one of the smartest men I've ever met.
Sure.
With a sixth grade education, now I'm sorry, but that can't do nothing but come from God. That's the only place he could have got it, from the hand of God, from God touching him. One of the wisest men in the Bible that I've met, one of the wisest men down here on this earth. The choices that he makes, I want to be able to make decisions as good as he does. And I've got a high school education. But the man, I mean, he's smart, and he's only got a sixth grade education. And look at the things that he's got down here on this earth. I'm not going to say he's the richest man on the earth, but God has blessed him. God has blessed him financially. God has blessed him spiritually. God has blessed him in his family.
Yes.
And it only comes from God.
Right.
And I got to thinking about all the, what God has done. And whenever I got home the other day, I sat at the table there and by the big window there in our house, and I turned around and I looked out, and I was just sitting there. The sun was shining in, and I saw all the birds lining up on the power line there back behind the house. And I got to looking at them, they're flopping around. One would fly down and get on the ground, and then come back up to the power line. Another one fly down. And I got to thinking, I got to watching them things, and God's feeding each and every one of them birds. For every bird that flies through the air, God's put enough worms in the ground to feed them. God give them the physical ability to be able to see them things down in the ground, fly down and get them. How much more does He love us that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us? How much more does He love us that He wouldn't feed us? In Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 29. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." He's taking care of us all the way down to the food that we eat, the mental capacity that He gives us. It's all from the hand of God. I wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't been for the hand of God.
Amen.
I would be dumb. Some say I am now, but I'd be dumber than what I am now. I'd be hungry if God hadn't reached down and touched me, if God hadn't blessed me. And another thing that the Lord was dealing with me on, and one thing that He touches us, and one way that He blesses us, is one way that will get us in trouble and make us want to stick our thumb under our lapel, walk down the street and say, "Look what I've done," and ask the money that we've got in our bank account. There's no telling how many of us have spent more time balancing our checkbook and making sure that our finances are right than we have spent in the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 17, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth." I'm going to tell you, you ain't got wealthy on your own. If God hadn't given you the ability to do it, you wouldn't have it. If you don't get it on your own, you will never get it on your own. It has to come from the hand of God. And one thing that influences us down here on this earth, we get our eyes off of God, and we get to looking at our income, we get to looking at power, we get to looking at status. And what that does is builds pride up inside of our life, and it becomes vanity inside of us, because that's what we're looking at. And whenever, the whole time, God has blessed us with it. And then we'll go around and say, "My hand has done this. I did this. Look what I did." And you stick your lapel under there. And then you walk down the street and you want to show everything off. Whenever God has given it to you. And the Bible says there, Deuteronomy 8, verse number 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get well, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish." You want to perish? You get to say, "Look what I've done. Look what my hands have accomplished. Look what I've accomplished." You want to get away from God? Start saying, "I. I did this. I did that." We need to give thanks for what God has done. We need to give Him the honor. We need to give Him the glory. We need to give Him the praise for what's happened in our life. Because I didn't get it on my own. You didn't get it on your own. We need to be thankful for the building that God gave us here. For the church that we have. For the members that we've got here. We didn't get them on our own. It's God moving. It's God's hand moving in it. It's God touching. And I get to thinking about our abilities. God's given me the ability to do something. He's given you the ability to do something. He's given every one of us in here the ability to do something. Every one of us have a job to do. It might be a different job. Every one of us has a different capability. I have the ability to be blunt. I have the ability to say it like it is. I get that from my mother. God has given me that ability. Sometimes it just needs to be said like it is. That's something God's given me. It doesn't matter. I can say it and they can think what they want. I'll give them the scriptures. That's okay. They don't like it. I'll give them the scriptures. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 15, we read about some talents. I want to tell you, when God gives you an ability, God gives you the capability of doing something, He will supply the means in order to get that job done. He will give you the means in which to do it. Whether it takes physical abilities, whether it takes financial, God will move, God will touch, and God will give it to you. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 15, and to one He gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and this is referencing money right here and the talents, and unto one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. So whenever God gives you ability, He will give you the means and the capability in order to get that done. He will reach down and He'll touch. Whether it's to sing, He'll reach down and touch your throat. Whether it's to preach, He'll reach down and touch your mind and give you a clear understanding of the Scriptures. He'll reach down and touch you and give you the means in order to get it done. God will touch. God will give the means. Sometimes it might take a little bit more to do one job than it does the other. It says that He gave the talents according to the several abilities. One He gave 5, 1, 2, 1, 1. What happened whenever He came back? One that had 5 talents, He multiplied them. He went out and He worked with them. He used it. He used what God had given him.
Yes, sir.
Same way with the 2. What happened with one with 1 talent? God gave him the means for his ability. He gave him the talent to be able to use his ability. But he didn't do it. He was afraid to use it. And I'm going to tell you, if you're afraid to use what God has given you, He will take it back. Read the Scriptures and you'll find that's what happened whenever the master came back and he said, well, he didn't use it. He put it away to make sure that he didn't lose it. He wanted to make sure he held on to it. But I'm going to tell you, you take what God gives you and you go with it. You obey Him. You let Him lead. You follow Him and let Him touch. And He will give you the means which to do it and He'll bless it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. And another thing that I got to thinking about is you hear a lot of people say, well, I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing. Why don't you? Why don't you have anything? If you don't have anything, it's your own fault. Luke chapter number 11, verse 9 says, and I say unto you, asking it shall be given you, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open.
That's right.
So why don't you have anything? He's saying, ask and you'll receive. A lot of times you say, well, I've asked for it. I've prayed for it. I've asked God to give me this. And which way are we asking? I've asked for things and I haven't received it. Whenever I get out of the will of God, my mind gets off the will of God. Whenever the further I get away from God, the further my wants and my needs get into it. And the further I get away from God, the more I'm looking at building up treasures down here on this earth. Whenever we get closer to God, we want to build up treasures in heaven, and our wants and our needs and the things that we ask for will be more towards Jesus Christ and His honor and His glory.
That's right.
You can't have it all. You can't have it all. We got to get in the center of God's will. And then we get what we stand in need of, and God will supply our wants and He'll supply our needs. Well, how do you get what you want? James chapter number 4, verse number 1, for whence come war and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And that's what I was saying a second ago. Whenever you get out of the center of God's will, and you separate yourself from God, you're going to start saying, okay, God, I want this, or I need this. I sure would like to see this come to pass. And you start getting to praying, and you start asking for things, but it's for what you want. But I'm going to tell you what, you get in the center of God's will, you get down on your knees and say, okay, God, forgive me. God, please have mercy on me. I want to be in the center of your will. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be a mirror of Christ. I want to be the reflection where whenever somebody looks on me, they see you.
Right.
And you say, God, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? Give me that which it takes in order to get it done. And you'll see God move in your life, and you'll see God blessing, and you'll see God touching and giving you the ability to do it. If He calls you to preach and He sends you out on the mission field, He'll give you the means to be able to do it. He won't give you a nice big old long Cadillac or limousine to get it done, but He'll give you the means, won't He? He'll give you what it takes in order to get it done. You get in the center of God's will and watch how God moves. If you haven't seen Him move, find out where you're at. Maybe you're not in the center of God's will. And I want us to look over at some of the spiritual things. I'm thankful one day whenever God came my way in an old-fashioned church in Mount Zion in Dallas, Georgia, God came by and saw me lost and undone without God, saw that I needed a Savior. And there I was, 9-year-old boy, minding my own business in church. God came by and He took His finger and He started rubbing around my heart. He started fingering my heart and said, Son, you're lost. Son, you need a Savior. Son, you need me. That's whenever I realized I was destined for hell. That's whenever I realized I had no hope. That's whenever I realized I didn't have a chance. And God started moving in me, and after the preacher started, after he finished preaching, they got up to sing a song of invitation. I thought, God, all I need is a clear path. That's all I need is a clear path. As soon as they started singing, I turned to go out, and I had a clear path because my brother on my left had already made it down to the altar. And I said, God, all I need is a clear path, and He cleared it out. He made a way for me to get to that altar. Well, whenever He was preaching, my heart was just beating 90 miles an hour. My hands were sweating. I was fidgeting. I couldn't sit still. Whenever I was growing up, my mama didn't let me move around. Boy, I mean, I'd move, she'd pop me. She'd say, son, sit still. That was one day I couldn't sit still. Whenever God got a hold to me, and I'm thankful that He gave me a new heart, it's something that I did not do, I have not done anything for. It's something I'm not worthy of. I have done nothing to receive it. But whenever I got in that old-fashioned altar, and it was on this side of the church, and I came down and I knelt down on that altar, and I said, God, please save me. God, please forgive me of my sins. God, please be my Savior. He gave unto me a new heart. Jeremiah 24, verse number 7 says, and I will give them an heart to know me. I'm glad He placed inside of me a new heart, one that has communication with the Holy Spirit. Before, I couldn't communicate like I can now. Now I've got an open communication with Him because He placed in me a new heart. And I will give them a heart to know me. I'm glad I know Him tonight. I'm glad He's my Savior. And I did not do anything to receive that. I did not do anything to make me worthy of Him sending His Son. I did not get it on my own. But it's through the hand of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, up in heaven, touching me. He gave me a new heart. It says that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. I'm glad one day He put a new heart in me.
Amen.
He gave me a heart that won't ever die.
Amen.
This old heart down here, this flesh, it'll go out. One of these days, it'll quit beating. But I'm glad one day, I don't know if you've ever watched open heart surgery or not, but whenever they replace a heart, they'll thump it. I'm going to tell you what, whenever God put that new heart in me, I got a thump. And I started something beating inside of me. It gave me a beat inside of my chest like my regular heart will never beat.
God bless you.
I've got one that will never go out. I've got a heart that will never fail.
Amen.
Whenever He saved me, I come up out of that altar. Things were different than whenever I went in. I didn't go down with my gum on one side and come up with it on the other. I'm glad whenever He saved me, He put something in me that I'd never had before. He put something in me where my eyes could see like they'd never seen before. My ears could hear like they'd never heard before. Whenever I came up, all things become new. Old things have passed away, all things become new. The Bible says, whenever I became a man, I put away those childish things. I'm going to tell you what, I got a hold of something down there in that altar. Well, I laid some things aside, and all things become new. Things that I once hated, I now love. Things I used to love, I now hate. I'm going to tell you what, He'll give you a new perspective on everything. He'll give you a new look on life, and it's not turning over a new leaf. He'll give you a whole new look on it. Ezekiel chapter number 11, verse number 19, it says, and I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit. There's something new inside of me.
Yes.
Something new. Now, I could go to a car lot and buy a car used. But to me, it's new. To me, it'd be new. But He put something inside of me that was new. He gave me a new heart. Nobody else has had it. Nobody else has touched it. There was no miles on that thing. I didn't give anything for it. I didn't pay a price for it. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He paid it all on Calvary, and He put that new heart in me and gave me a spirit that I'd never had. He put a new spirit on me, gave me a whole new outlook on everything. Matthew chapter number 11. Sometimes whenever we go through this life, we get a little bit tired. We might get a little bit discouraged. Get out knocking on doors, calling people, asking them to come to church. You might get a little bit tired, a little bit weary, but I'm thankful for a Savior that will give us rest.
Yeah.
I'm glad that sometimes whenever I get tired, I can go to Him and I can just call on Him. He'll reach out. He grabs hold of my hand. His arm is never too short. He's never too weak to grab a hold of me and pull me to Him. But I'm thankful for Matthew chapter number 11. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor. And are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm glad that sometimes it might not be all that easy. Sometimes it gets a little rough. Sometimes it gets a little rocky. But I'm glad that He says, "Come unto me." But He's put something else in there. It says, "All ye that labor." If you're not doing anything, there ain't no use of calling on Him because you ain't doing nothing. You don't need any rest. But He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What He'll do, whenever I call on Him, He'll grab a hold of my hand, and He'll pull me up, and He'll get me in His arms, and He said, "It'll be all right, son." And before I know it, I open my eyes, and I'm already on the other side of the trouble. I'm on the other side of the tribulation that I face. I'm on the other side of that rocky road, and looking back at what had happened, well, He just pulled me up on my arms, lifted me off my feet, carried me all the way through it, and got me on the other side.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the rest that I can have in my Savior.
Yes, sir.
Nothing I did. I didn't get it on my own, but God will give you the rest.
Amen.
Not only that, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit.
Sure, yeah.
The Bible tells us that His Spirit will bear witness. I'm thankful for whenever I can come to the church and I see my brothers and sisters in Christ outside of here, there's a Spirit that bears witness. I'm glad whenever we come up to them, whenever I see you in Walmart, I come up to you and hug your neck and say, I'm glad to see you. I'm going to tell you what, we had a family day at work, a family day thing for work yesterday, and I had to go up there. And I'm going to tell you what, there's not a single one I just wanted to go up to, shake their hand, hug their neck, tell them I'm glad to see them. I'm sorry, I just couldn't do that. There wasn't a spirit that bared there. I'm thankful that whenever I come and I see you, His Spirit bears witness.
Yeah.
And it's because of Him.
Yeah.
He gives that Spirit. Luke 11, verse number 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?"
That's right.
Whenever you realize that you're lost and undone without Him, you can come to Him and you can get down on your knees and you can ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and He'll give that Holy Spirit inside of you that will bear witness to me, it'll bear witness to Brother Toby, bear witness to everybody in here that's saved. And I'm thankful for that Holy Spirit because we can get together and we know that we're one of God's own. We know that we can get together. We come together one mind, one accord, gain strength from each other. But it's Jesus Christ from above that gives that Holy Spirit. I didn't get it on my own. You didn't get it on your own. And I'm thankful that one of these days God thought about it far enough in advance. I'm glad He's a smart God. But He thought far enough advance. He knew that Thomas Cochran was going to be born. He knew that he's going to need a Savior. And He knew that once he died, there needs to be something else. He knew that once I died, He wanted something to go beyond the grave. I'm thankful that my life doesn't stop right there at the grave. I'm thankful that there's something beyond. It says John chapter number 10, verse number 28, "And I give unto them eternal life." I'm thankful that one of these days, I'm going to be able to meet my Savior face to face. I'm going to be able to look the one straight in the eye that saved me, that saved my soul, that died on the cross, that hung on the cross for me and for you. I'm going to be able to see Him face to face. I'm going to be able to fall down at His feet, and I'm going to be able to worship Him forevermore. I'm going to be able to sing. I'm going to be able to sing those glad hosannas. I'm thankful that He gave me eternal life. And they shall never perish. I'm going to a place for eternity that will never be done away with. And not only that, it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God has given me something that you can't take away. God has given me something that the devil cannot take away. God has given me something that no man can take away from me. He's given me that salvation. He's given me that joy. He's given me that new heart. He's given me that new spirit. He's given me that new outlook. He's given me that ability to see things in a different way. He's given me the ability to discern the Scriptures. He's given me all these things, and you can't take it away. Nobody can take it away. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There ain't nobody that can separate me from God. God gives it. I'm thankful that He gives that eternal life. There's another thing that God gives me, and I'm coming to a close. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. I have no reason to be afraid tonight.
That's right.
I have no reason to be afraid of anything that the devil can send my way, what he might threaten me with, because like I done told you, he can't take it away from me. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Yes.
I will give thee a crown of life. One of these days, there's different things that I've gotten down here on this earth, different things that different people has given me. I know that Jesus Christ gave me a new heart. I know He gave me that Spirit. I know He's given me all of these things. But it tells me that He'll give me a crown. I can't help but think about the time whenever I'm standing before Him, Brother Matthew, it'll be the first time whenever God reaches over and touches me. I've never got to physically feel Him before. I've never got to have His touch before physically. But one of these days, He's going to have a crown, and He can just reach over and put it on my head. Now, I won't have it long because I'll be casting it at His feet. But one of these days, He's going to put that crown on me. I'm glad I've got a crown. So I will give thee a crown of life. I'm thankful for the things that God has given me. Because I didn't get them on my own. I didn't get them through anything that I've done. I'm not worthy of anything that He has given me. I want us to go back to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, verse number 16. And I shared a little bit of this with you the other night. I got a little bit excited about thinking about, for God so loved. Why did He give us all this? Why did He give me all that He's given me? Because for God so loved. God loved me that much. God loved me that much. I never will forget the night that He touched me. Let me know that I was lost and undone. And from there, the blessings have been pouring in one after another, after another, after another. I'm thankful that He saved me whenever He saved me. I was just a young boy. I'm thankful that I was saved before I got married. Because I know how to love my wife. I haven't always made the right decision, but I know how to love my wife. If you're here tonight, you're lost and undone without God, you don't know how to love your husband. You don't know how to love your wife.
That's right.
If you're a young child, you don't know how to love your mom and dad. I'm going to tell you, you want to know love, you know my personal Savior.
That's right.
If you want to know love, you need to come to know Him.
Amen.
And He'll give you that love.
Sure.
He'll give you that joy. He'll give you that wisdom and that understanding. Why? For God so loved. For God so loved us. He left His home in heaven. He left those golden streets for the dusty streets down here on this earth. He left His throne in heaven to die on a wooden cross. He left His royal crown for a crown of thorns down here. He did this because for God so loved. I want to come with a song of invitation. While they're coming around, I want to read one other scripture, Romans chapter number 10. I like what it says right here in the scriptures, Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And I want to read it personally to you tonight. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for you is that you might be saved." You can have all these blessings of God. He can give you them personally.
Sure.
And it's very simple. All you got to do is accept the fact and come to the realization. And you know that you're lost. Whenever God is dealing with you, humble yourself down as a small child, realizing that you're nothing without Him. Verse number 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simple as calling on Him tonight. It's just simple as asking Him to be your Lord and personal Savior, Jesus Christ. Asking Him for forgiveness and confessing what He's done for you. It's that simple tonight. While we stand, while she sings.
Beyond the portals of time, there's a beautiful land, a world of God's glory unfurled. And by the grace of God, I someday will call it my home. I never miss heaven for the world. We've known. the world.
Parking lot. birds of the air was crabs. Read something a couple of years ago said if Bill Gates was to sit out and try to feed all the birds of the world, he'd be bankrupt in 8 days. 8 days, the richest man in the world would be bankrupt if he had to feed all the birds of the world. And the Lord feeds them with crabs. What about that?
Not one.
Not once. You won't see a bird starve to death. The Lord's feeding.
Yeah.
Are you not better than they, Jesus said?
Yeah.
You look at it. You've got to learn to trust Him. You'll be more deceived. Well, I appreciate you coming tonight. When Thomas step on back to the back door, you be sure to shake hands with the man of God tonight. Let him know you appreciate the preaching of the word of the Lord. It's been a good day in the house of God, hasn't it? I would encourage you, implore you. Whatever other words you can think of, try to make it important to you, that you'd come to church here on Wednesday night. We're going to continue. This will be our fourth part in our study on practical issues, Christianity. And this Wednesday night, we're going to be dealing with sin. This Wednesday night, we're going to be dealing with sin. We're going to deal with how to stay out of it. What to do once you got into it. How to get out of it. How to put it behind you. How to avoid practicing it again in the future. What the Lord has done for us to get rid of sin. And if there's anybody here that hasn't never sinned, then you probably won't be interested in Wednesday night's meeting. But for all the rest of us, it's old, dirty, rotten sinners, we need some help. And Wednesday night, the only kind of folks I'm going to be preaching to is them who's got issues or have had issues or will have issues with sin. The rest of you don't have need to show up. Amen? If you fall in that category, I want you to come Wednesday night and be helped to, all right? Fellowship one with another. You can be dismissed. Thank you for coming.